FaithFit Radio and the Diocese of Orlando presents Saints Who Lead Us with Catherine Laguna, a program that is seeking to lead young adults to Christ and to enkindle a deeper faith that is fully alive. Now, here is your host.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Saints Who Lead Us. I'm Catherine Laguna, your host. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I know some of you listen to different Catholic podcasts on your way to or from work, or just during your downtime, so I'm very happy and glad to share this time with all of you. I know it's very valuable. We are in the full swing of the season of Lent, and as a refresher, the Church's teaching on the season of Lent is, "For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sinning." That's from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So within the 40 days of Lent, the Church unites herself each year to the mystery of Jesus in the desert. This is why Lent is a period of 40 days, when we were also invited to walk into that desert with Jesus. So in the last episode, I suggested we all find some kind of mission or discernment in order to entirely be spiritually devoted in this 40-day journey with Jesus. We've already cut it down to about, 10, so it does go by really quickly. But the point is, it's not too late to have a faithful Lent season. This isn't like a New Year's resolution that we completely give up on the second week of January. I remember a few years back, I had a Lenten season where it didn't really feel like Lent. By the time it was Holy Week, I felt like I was playing catch up spiritually. I mentioned that to my dad, and he told me in his pre-deacon tone, "Well, Catherine, have you been praying more than usual? Have you tried going to daily mass or just one extra mass out of the week? Have you tried to help someone who is in need? Or how about doing simple things, like staying off your phone more or lessening the consumption of TV shows you so much love?" And of course, all my answers were no. My family and I have this custom when I was younger. As soon as we got back home following Ash Wednesday Mass, my parents told my brother and I, "No TV, no music." And the silence would just swallow me whole. I know I couldn't stand it. It was terrible. Young Catherine thought it was torturous, and Lent was definitely a season of punishment. But what my parents were teaching us is that Lent is a different liturgical season than all the rest. We must distance ourselves from the things of this world that creates distractions, creates anger, bitterness, temptation, and walk into that desert with Jesus. We can't walk into the desert with Jesus with our Xbox or with our TV show, right? So it's going to be difficult. It's certainly a challenge. But that silence my parents wanted me to sit in, well, now I know that was one-on-one time with God without the noise and the distractions. So I heard this exercise in the office at work the other week, and I thought we can do it together. So if you want to do it mentally or grab something to write with, I'm all about the visuals. I want each of you to ask yourself, what is one word describing my greatest obstacle between my personal relationship with Jesus? And here I'll give you some examples. Patience. Am I patient with my family, friends, coworkers, some of those drivers on the road? Pride. Do I think everything and everyone revolves around me and my needs? Stress. Am I overwhelming myself with worries of the daily grind without letting go and letting God? Honesty. Do I tell little white lies thinking they aren't harmful to me and others? Technology. When there are opportunities for family time, do I spend more time focused on my cyber life rather than a personal connection with my loved ones? So think about that one word or thing that disrupts your relationship with Jesus. I think it's useful to create helpful ways to help me in the mindset of Lent. I decided to use a system I made up called the 3 P's. These are the things I want to participate more in, especially if I sense a spiritual disruption happening between me and God. And it's so simple and definitely useful among us young adults. So here are the 3 P's. Prayer, practice, and promote. Here is how I decided to break them down. I'm going to pray more because Lent is a season where we focus more on reflecting. I'll practice kindness since as young adults, we do come across a lot of hate, don't we? Especially on social media. And by practicing or sharing more kindness with others, hopefully that will spread and promote some positivity in the lives of the people that we spend time with daily, right? So go back and think about that word or thing you've chosen that keeps you from having that absolute relationship with God. And I'll use my word as an example to see how we can all navigate through the 3 P's. So for me, I've chosen the word self-denial. Not sure if any of you young adults have a parent or an older family member who, for whatever reason, no matter if the sky is falling, for a lack of a better example, always carries this unwavering quality of doing things for others. There might be a dozen things on their plate, things they are doing for others, by the way, but they still do it because that's who they are. I think parents come to mind. Our mom, our dad, or if it's your grandparents, they're always sacrificing a lot for us, even when we're adults. My mom always says, "Con Dios todo es posible," which is, with God, all is possible. So for me, this is my Lenten journey of self-denial. But you all participating have your own word you're going to be working on. And the individual I picked who shows a great deal of self-denial and kindness is Blessed Angela Salawa. Did you notice that I didn't say Saint Angela? Remember in the last podcast, I mentioned the steps in becoming a saint. Well, Blessed Angela already passed the first stage. The first stage was when the person takes on the name Venerable before their first name. Now she's on the second stage. That's why she's called Blessed. I think you'll see that in her life, it was about growing spiritually by denying herself of her own interests and focusing on those who desperately needed help. In her case, she gave great service in caring for soldiers wounded in World War I. I like to think a Lenten journey of self-denial to be about not having every moment of the day always be about me. I want to grow in providing for others. Baby steps. And I think the 3 P's and Blessed Angela's life story will help along the way. So let's start with the first P, prayer. This is actually one of the things God calls us to do during the season of Lent. And the best thing about prayer is that it doesn't demand perfection. We just need to deepen our prayer life by doing it more often. We teach the kids in catechism classes that we should at least pray 3 times a day. That would cover at least all of our meals throughout the day, right? Which is great. But why don't we stretch that out a little more? I know some friends and family members who have their own short prayer that they use all the time to keep that line of communication with God open at all times. We all love Wi-Fi, right? So our prayers are like our Wi-Fi to God. Because if the Wi-Fi don't work or it's not happening, there's no connection with God, right? So whenever I'm feeling as though I'm slipping away from a prayer for Lent, I pray a short prayer I've created to refocus my intentions. And it goes something like this. Jesus, I'm feeling discouraged, feeling the temptation you once ventured through in the desert. Please guide me through this hurdle. Amen. That's it. I think if we start with something manageable, then we'll be able to adjust and grow to a more profound prayer life. I know I used to dread having to pray the rosary. It was a definite struggle. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But as I began to understand how I personally feel about prayer and wanting that direct connection with God, I slowly was able to do a mystery of the rosary each time without having it feel like a homework assignment. And I know we are all capable of reaching a thoughtful prayer life. You can start by creating a short prayer if that's something that it can be beneficial for you. Something I also find useful is reading. I received a book as a gift called Blessed Among Us by Robert Elsberg. Each day, there's a reference to the life of a saint, someone who is on their way to becoming a saint, or an important person, part of history, who did good things in their life. On the page marked for March 12th, it says Blessed Angela had an encounter with Christ where, quote, she suddenly perceived that Christ was standing in the room, seeming to hold her in a gaze of loving reproach. She was so completely moved by this moment that she immediately went to a nearby church to pray. She wanted to remain in that closeness with God, and she thought prayer to be the easiest and most powerful tool to get that one-on-one connection with Him. And within prayer, she asked for the courage to amend her life. So think about that word you chose for this exercise. How can prayer help you to amend your life? Lent is a powerful time to make some changes. It's when every Catholic or even some non-Catholics are also doing the same. So we have that support team in case. How can prayer help you through that challenge with the word you've chosen? Or for me, since I've selected self-denial, I think my prayers can be useful for others. What do I mean by that? Well, don't we usually get a friend or a coworker asking for prayer? Don't we usually say, oh yes, of course, no problem, I got you. But do we truly pray for that person? If the person asks for prayers through a Facebook status, do we just click on the like tab and think, well, I've completed that commitment I said yes to? No, we shouldn't do that. I want to dedicate more time on the prayer intentions I'm asked of, and also work on being comfortable in the silence of prayer. I know I'm that type of person who absolutely loves having the TV or music on as background noise. But during this Lent, I'm going to be more open with allowing that silence be my additional time with Jesus. If your parish has perpetual adoration 24/7, consider going to an hour that no one goes to. To me, this is a wonderful sacrifice and a beautiful time of prayer. For about a year, I used to go from 8 to 10 p.m. one day out of the week. And if you've heard one of my previous episodes, I didn't immediately fall in love with adoration time with Jesus, but I stuck to it and I worked on that relationship with Him. So through that commitment to prayer, Blessed Angela did amend her life. She lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s in Poland. She spent most of her time in Krakow, where she eventually decided to do something for the good of others. Instead of entering into a religious order, though, she decided to pursue a life of prayer and service in the world. By 1912, she became the Third Order Franciscan. Only 2 years later, though, in World War I. And I think this was a period of time that Blessed Angela's faith and eagerness to lend a helping hand began. As young adults, what is God calling us to be part of? We always get to hear the news stories of young people doing amazing, generous things for others. So I don't think we're ever too young to be of service. I've heard of that 9-year-old boy who spent his birthday giving out hundreds of pizzas to flood victims in Louisiana back last year in August. There's another boy who's a teenager now, but when he was 11, he started his own organization to gather sporting equipment for kids in the communities who really couldn't afford them. And over that first year of him working with that project, he managed to help something like 100 kids or more. The other night, there was a video that went viral, and it was two or three teenagers holding an umbrella over an elderly as he was trying to get across the street during a hailstorm in California. And those pieces of hail looked rather large. The first ministry I participated in was actually not really a desire, more like a get in there and share your talents. So I shared my gifts of music to help the choir at my parish many years ago, basically when we really didn't even have a choir for the English Mass. I love playing my clarinet, especially during the Easter Vigil. Then after so many years, I decided to become an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion because I was pulled toward a ministry that was completely not about me, but about being that tool Jesus needed to reach all of his faithful. And I think Blessed Angela decided to use her gifts too by giving great service and caring for those soldiers wounded in World War I. And I was reading a little bit about the war as a refresher. And although Poland wasn't an independent state during that war, their geographical position throughout the battles caused them to have the most human and material losses than any other country participating in the war. So when Krakow was evacuated at the start of the war, Blessed Angela decided it was her duty to God to stay behind. Isn't that an act of kindness beyond belief? That takes us to the second P tip, practice kindness. I know I was cheating a little with the K word, but this is all Father Martin's fault. He's the baby priest from St. James Cathedral, as Bishop Noonan likes to say. Father Martin has been on this preaching mantra on practice kindness, be kind with one another. It does sound a little silly to ask or preach about being kind, but Father Martin is right in doing so. And hopefully there are no copyright infringements done here as I share on his idea. I think being kind is such a great way to be more open and friendly with people around us. Lately, there seems to be a widespread of hatred catching on. We see it on social media. We deal with it at our jobs, at our schools. It's like a wildfire. It's hard to control. But instead of participating in that hatred and causing it to spread, we need to try to be the ones who put a halt to it. We cannot be contributors. Instead, let us be the ones who continuously show kindness to one another who needs a pick-me-up. Sometimes a person just wants to know they are heard or cared about. By smiling, saying hello, holding the door for someone, standing up for someone who is being bullied. Think of things you can do throughout your day that will be presentations of kindness. The biggest presentation of kindness I received recently was about a year ago. I was actually on my way to Mount Dora to write a story on Sister Judy from St. Patrick Parish. Well, on my drive there, I ran into debris I couldn't avoid on the highway. I knew it was going to be a flat tire before it even happened. And so I was completely stranded in the middle of nowhere, and it was already night. I live in Kissimmee, so I definitely don't have friends around the corner to come and help me out. So I called AAA, and they were booked for 3 hours because of a nearby accident. So long story short, AAA puts in a call to a nearby police station. So in no time, two cops helped me change my tire, escorted me to a nearby gas station to fill up my spare tire. Make sure you check to see if your spare in your trunk has plenty of air. You're gonna need it one day. And then they followed me down south until I was out of their area that they patrol. It could have been the easiest thing for them to say, good luck, stay inside your car until the tow truck can assist you. Maybe some of you might think, but isn't that their job? Well, actually, many departments have strict new policies which sort of restricts them from helping civilians with car troubles in order to prevent many lawsuits. But they move past all of that to show kindness to a complete stranger. That entire ride home, I prayed I would make it home with my spare. But I also gave thanks that this world is still filled with people who practice kindness no matter what. Imagine if we all could participate in a kindness campaign of some sort. Don't you think doing acts of goodness for others will then set off a chain reaction? We could be part of shutting down hatred. That way, we spread more love and support instead of giving more power to the one deadly sin, anger or wrath. And even though we might be in the midst of wrath or in war like Blessed Angela, she still managed to spread her kindness and love of helping others across our country. She didn't only practice an act of kindness to those who were injured or on her side. She also cared for her enemies, prisoners of war. In her diary, she wrote to Christ, "Lord, I live by your will. I shall die when you desire. Save me because you can." Her complete trust and self-denial cannot be mistaken, right? So she's a wonderful example of fighting the urge to go with the grain of the world and instead practice kindness no matter the issue we face. God is always in control. He doesn't give us anything we can't use to better ourselves. And when we are practicing kindness, we are also sharing in on that positivity of our Holy Spirit. So that brings us to the last tip. Promote positivity. I think we all know someone who is always beaming positivity all the time. And in the communications office the other day, Christine and I told Glenda she's always sweating positivity. Glenda can't let it rain for just one small moment of blues. But that's an excellent quality to have, right? Be the source of light, hope, and goodness. Show others that your Holy Spirit is full of love and happiness for God. I've had friends and family tell me that I'm always so positive, very hyper, as my mother would say, but always happy. Does Catherine ever get mad? But I think being positive and happy is a gift that God blesses us with. There's been people who have lost it all, but their positivity and joy for life never leaves them. I think to have that quality is to have an unwavering faith in God. If we overwhelm ourselves with fear and regret, then we aren't fully trusting in what God has in store for us. Spiritually refreshing our mind, body, and soul is a crucial part of being able to carry that positivity. So in this case, you are internally building yourself up. And there's one thing I know that can completely restore our spirituality, mind, body, and soul. The Eucharist. I like to think that during this Lent, I challenge myself to attend more than just Sunday Mass. Mass is a beautiful feast we have every single day of the week. It's the most sacred and intimate moment with Jesus, and it's an hour we have every single day with him. It's about making ourselves spiritually healthy so we can share in on that positivity with everyone else. That's definitely a quality that Blessed Angela never allowed herself to suppress. It wasn't until she became really sick at the end of her life that it weakened her ability to continue her work, but I read it didn't stop or reduce that positivity her spirit had for the love of God. At her 1991 beatification in Krakow, Pope John Paul II said, "It is in this city that she worked, that she suffered, and that her holiness came to maturity. While connected to the spirituality of St. Francis, she showed an extraordinary responsiveness to the action of the Holy Spirit." So as we come to the end of this episode, think about that word you chose for this exercise today. Throughout this Lent, if you find yourself reverting or unwilling to work on that word, pause. Heard that silence? Use it to listen to what God has to say. Use prayer to strengthen you. "Jesus, I'm feeling discouraged, feeling the temptation you once ventured through in the desert. Please guide me through this hurdle. Amen." Remember, that's the one I came up with, so use it. Or come up with one of your own and see how that puts things into perspective. I know if I give myself a moment of pause, I'm able to see the bigger picture. So if I feel overwhelmed, I use that pause. If I feel or act unkind, I use that pause. If I'm projecting negativity, you better know I'll be taking that pause because that means it's overdue. I like to think that God prepares us in small steps. Small acts of self-denial help prepare us for larger acts of faith. So when we are tested with illness, tragedy, loss of a job, we can somehow find that sacrificing love God has for each of us. So for one last time, think about that one word you've chosen that is the greatest obstacle between a personal relationship between you and Jesus. Know that it doesn't have to stick with you after this Lenten journey. Let's take a moment of reflection to help us pray more, practice kindness, and promote positivity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, humility should never be mistaken for lack of conviction, insight, or energy. Blessed Angela brought the good news and material assistance to some of Christ's least ones. Her self-sacrifice inspired others to do the same. Help me during this Lenten season to be open, having a deeper prayer life, to always show kindness to even those who are unkind in return. My positivity is because of your love and spirit. May I share it with others who don't know you. Amen. Well, thanks for listening. Until next time, have a fabulous day.
FaithFit Radio and the Diocese of Orlando presented Saints Who Lead Us with Catherine Laguna. Thank you for listening. Check out the podcast at faithfitradio.org and tune in next time. May you be blessed with peace and joy.